It's so very good to be in your midst. And I thank the Lord for bringing me to cross paths with your pastor. And the Lord has knit our hearts together. And I really appreciate this invitation to come and speak to you. I bring you greetings from my lovely wife, Aisha. I spoke with her this morning. She sends you greetings. And before I get into the message I want to share with you today, from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of all the nations that you have been reaching, I've seen here the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Uganda, Tanzania, where I come from, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for sending your pastor and your mission team to these nations, including my nation of Tanzania, to bless us with your ministry. And today, considering that this is your month of missions emphasis, give and go, I want to speak on a subject that I have called a kingdom of priests. And I want to speak on that from the perspective of missions. Basically, my message to you is all of us, we are God's missionaries to the world. Because God wants all peoples of the earth saved and come to a relationship with Him. And He uses us, those who are in Christ Jesus already, to bring to Him those that are yet outside. So we are God's kingdom of priests. And I want to have us look at this priestly calling through three movements. I want us to look at Israel as God's kingdom of priests. Look at Jesus Christ as the great high priest. And look at us believers, the Church of Jesus Christ, as a royal priesthood. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that through this message you have given me to share with these, your precious people, will touch our hearts, O God. And that, Father, you will reveal your very own heart for the world to us and bring us into participation in the plan that you have for the world. Father, we are ready. Spirit of the living God, have your moment with us. Touch and minister to our lives, I pray. Lord, I am your mere vessel. Use me this day to speak to your people for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God desires people who would represent him on earth all the time. From the time he delivered Israel out of slavery in Egypt, God gave them a divine identity. He tells them, you are my kingdom of priests. We read in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. Now, God speaks to Israel through his servant Moses. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. So God tells Moses. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. God chose this nation, Israel, from among all the other nations of the earth, as a nation, a special nation belonging to them. And we see God telling them that they are his kingdom of priests. And what does that mean? Basically, that means that God wanted Israel to bring the other nations of the earth into the knowledge of God, to bring them to God. If you will, God wanted Israel, the nation of Israel, to be his missionaries to the rest of the world, that through them, all the other nations should come to know the Lord, a kingdom of priests. For who is a priest? A priest basically in Israel was a person called to stand between God and the people. He would speak to the people for God by teaching the people the laws of God and all the commands and the instructions of the Lord. And also he would speak to God for the people by way of interceding and praying for the people, for God to have mercy on the people when they sinned against God. So he was sort of a go-between, a mediator between God and people, the priests. In other words, the priest had a function of connecting the people with God. That is the same calling we have been given as the church, as we will see. So Israel was not only going to have priests, and we know there was a Levitical order in Israel. The descendants of Aaron was priests in Israel. But not only was Israel going to have priests, but God determined that the entire nation would be priests. Hallelujah. God's witnesses to the world. That God would bless these people in such a way that when the other nations see the blessings of God upon Israel, they would envy them and would want to join them in knowing this God who so blesses. God has blessed us. Praise the Lord. Salvation in Jesus Christ is a great blessing than none other. And those who have not yet known the Savior Christ Jesus should see our lives and want to know him. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. People should see our lives, our conduct, our behavior, our joy, our fulfillment, and want to know what is the secret behind it. And we would tell them, it is Jesus. Hallelujah. That others would come to know God through our lives. We are a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. God was setting Israel apart so that they would become instruments of his will to reach the rest of the world. They stood between God and the people, as I said. So their national identity was missional. If they were to make God known to the world, that was their mission. So they were a kingdom of priests for the mission of bringing the rest of the world to God. Is somebody following me? They were to show the goodness of God to all the other nations. And therefore, this concept of a kingdom of priests, I believe, is fundamental to our understanding of the kingdom of, of the mission of God. For life in the kingdom of God was designed to have an impact on those who are outside of that kingdom. The life we have in the church should have an impact on those that are not in the church. Basically, that's what we are saying. Amen? So, the Israelites were to use their blessings to attract the nations to God. You see, God called a man named Abram, who would later become Abraham, you know. We read that story in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God promises to bless Abraham and his descendants, and that through him and his descendants, all the other nations of the earth would be blessed. And fulfillment of that promise today is found in the work of grace, the work of salvation in Christ Jesus. I am from the Maasai tribe of Tanzania. Born in a remote place, lived in the bush. Today, I know Jesus. Today, I serve Jesus because the promise of God to Abraham has been fulfilled in my life. That all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. I have found the blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because somebody came to my village. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, Israel failed its mission. He failed its priestly calling through their disobedience, idolatry, and even sometimes corruption of the priests. But God did not give up on them. He still promised the restoration. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 31 through 34, God promises that one day he would raise another priesthood and make a new covenant. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 33. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. That means they had broken the first covenant. Thank God that he never breaks his covenant with us. Hallelujah. We do break the covenant, but God never does. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions, other versions say my law, I will write my law deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbor, nor will they need to teach their relative, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Thank God, he writes his law on our hearts. And I will share in a little bit how he did in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We must let the world know that there is a Savior who loves them and is ready to forgive their sins and heal their lives. So now we come to Jesus Christ. Israel has failed the mission. Jesus Christ came. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Jesus understands us. Jesus understands what you are going through. You may be going through some pain, some challenge, but I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you. Jesus has gone through what you are going through, so he understands. And he calls us to bring to him all our burdens. And he will give us rest. So I want to encourage you this morning. Trust in Jesus Christ to help you in whatever you may be going through. He invites us to approach his throne of mercy boldly. Yeah. Hallelujah. from where we receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but I need His grace and mercy every day of my life. And because I have His invitation, I boldly go before Him every day that I need help for help. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, God is good. And now, God has given us that priestly calling that He initially gave Israel. The book of Corinthians chapter 2, Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, we read these words. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. We were all lost and estranged from God. But through the work of Christ Jesus on the cross, He has brought us back to God. And He has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful ministry or message of reconciliation. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people to God. So now believers in Jesus Christ, and that is us, have inherited that priestly ministry or mission that Israel was given and Israel failed. Jesus came to complete it, and now the church, we believers, continue that priestly calling to bring the lost world to God. That is a high calling, friends. Hallelujah. We have that task of connecting unbelievers with God through our witness. That, you see, when you have something that God has done for you in your life, you have a message. And there is someone in the world that needs to hear that message. And this morning you are going to hear my message. Because Jesus did something wonderful in my life. And that's the reason I am here this day. Hallelujah. God is good. We must keep connecting the lost with God. And missions and evangelism, mission outreach, is the best and most effective way we can achieve that goal. So by all means, we must keep on sharing the good news. By all means. We must keep on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this gospel of Jesus Christ is good news to the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save. It has the power to heal. It has the power to set people free from every manner of bondage. And the world is crying to hear that message. And we are the messengers. We must bring the message to the world. You know, God's method is people. Whenever God wants to do something in the world, when He has a plan He wants to fulfill in the world, He uses people. And we are His people. Gone are the days when God would drop down miracles like manna from heaven. Today, when your neighbor is hungry, God would use you to feed him. You are His method. You are His channel of blessing. The world that is lost in sin are waiting for us to tell them about the grace of God so that they may believe in Jesus Christ and come to the saving knowledge of Him. Praise the Lord. God has a plan to save the world. And he has called us to participate in that plan. We are not mere spectators, but participants with God in his mission to save the world. And that is a great calling, friends. So the priestly ministry that began with Israel and was fulfilled in Jesus Christ now extends to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. And that is you and me. As Christian believers, we have a mandate to share the good news to the world that is lost in sin. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible says. We are royal because we belong to Christ Jesus and we share in his kingly authority. That's why those of us who have gone to mission field, one of the things we usually witness out there in the mission field is when you lay hands on people and pray for them, you witness the power of God working to heal them. You see, we have what we call in the church the Great Commission. Jesus has commanded us to go. But I think many times we forget that not only do we have a Great Commission, we also have a great appointment. Because not only did Jesus tell us to go, he has promised that when we go, we will meet him there. He says, lo and behold, I am with you. We do missions a lot in our local church, International Christian Center in Dodoma. I will be honest with you. The miraculous workings of God that I witness out there in the field when we go outmatch those that we witness within the church. So oftentimes I challenge the people of our church and I say, if you want to see Jesus at work, go to the mission field. That's where we really have his promise that he will be with us there. Praise the Lord God. Missions is God's agenda. And whenever we go out to carry it out, he makes sure he's with us so that he manifests his presence and his miraculous power working to touch people's lives. As a kingdom of priests, we are called to offer spiritual sacrifices to God, but also to proclaim the praises of God. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life I lived in oblivion. I didn't even know that there was another world that existed. I need to tell you my testimony. As I come to the end of my message this morning, give and go. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, and I'm going to quickly paraphrase this, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every time the word of God, the gospel is faithfully preached, there will be people who get saved, get healed, get delivered. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. But the Bible asks a series of very important questions. How can they call on the name of the Lord Jesus unless they believe in him? But how can they believe if they have not heard about him? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So unless they believe, they will not call on the name of Jesus. And unless they hear about him, they will not believe in him. But how can they hear about him if nobody has gone to tell them about him? Go! But those that are willing and ready to go, how can they go if they aren't sent? And that's where now you and I come in. When it comes to God's mission, when we can personally go, let's go. And Jesus will use us to touch and impact lives. If we cannot go, let's send those that can go. Today, friends, I have come all the way from Tanzania. I'm standing before you this morning because somebody came to my remote village to tell me about Jesus. I was born and raised in a pagan polygamous family. My father married 5 wives and got 48 children altogether. We could form our own nation, as my pastor said yesterday. We did not believe in God. We did not believe in formal education. My parents had no plan to send me to school because we believed our culture was the best in the whole wide world, and that formal education was corruptive to our culture. So, as a people, we didn't send children to school. So, I grew up basically going out to look after the animal heads of livestock, taking our cows and goats and sheep out the pastures to graze from a very early age. By the age of 8, 9, I was all alone in the bush, in the pastures with the animals. Under a government compulsory policy, 4 of my brothers were sent to school. They began to see the importance of education. By this time, they were in high school already. One day, while Dad was away, they came home and literally stole 4 of their younger brothers, including me. Stealing is bad, but that was good stealing. They took us to school. That's how I ended up going to school. I was enrolled in school. One day, in this elementary school, there was an open class simply called religion class that was open to people of any faith who would want to come and use it to teach their faith to the students. So one day I come to class, there was this stranger with a huge book with a black cover. He told us, and I hear this for the first time, this book was called the Bible. It was the word of God, the God who made us, who loves us so much. It doesn't matter what kind of sin we have committed, he can forgive us. When I heard the word sin, that caught my attention. And I will tell you why. One day while I was out there in the bush looking after the cows in the pastures, I came close to a thick bush from which came these stray cats. In Africa, the domestic cats sometimes stray and go live in the bush and eat rats there and all that. So there was one stray cat that came out of that bush and tried to attack me. Being a little Maasai warrior that was taught to fend for himself out there in the wild, I fought back this cat And sadly, I killed it. When I came close to the bush, I heard the sound of little kitties crying out from the bush. Meow, meow, meow. When I came close, there were four very little kittens in that bush. I didn't know what to do. I had killed their mother already. I was defending myself. What would you do? I go back home, narrated the whole incident to my mother. She listened to the end of it. Then she said to me, by killing the mother cat and leaving the kitties without the mother to nurse them, you have committed sin. In my Maasai language, the word for sin is much stronger than the English sin. It basically means a curse that would come upon the entire family of the perpetrator and would wipe out the whole family one after another, with the perpetrator of the wrong done being the last to die. So he or she would suffer witnessing losing the rest of the members of the family. That is the meaning of the word sin in my language. So my mother basically was telling me that you have brought a curse upon the family. And the only way to ward off, to take away this curse, is for you to go back to the wild, collect those kittens, bring them home, feed them with the cow milk until they are old enough to take care of themselves. It was already dark, friends. Remember, this is Africa. Remember, this is a tribe that lives in the bush. We had no electricity, no nothing. We relied on the moonlight. I ran back to the bush. I collect those little four kittens. I bring them back home. I began feeding them with cow milk. I had no feeding bottle. I would literally, with my hand, open up the mouth of the kitten and with a teaspoon try to put milk in the mouth. They were too little to respond to my feeding. So sadly, one after another, they all died. So now back to the elementary school with this stranger who came to teach us the Christian faith. He says, there is a God in heaven who has created us who can actually forgive sin. Remember, I had carried this burden of a curse that I have possibly brought upon the family. And here is someone who is telling me there is a way out. I sat at the edge of my bench with all my attention waiting for him to tell me what I needed to do. I was frustrated that he finished that class session and went away without telling me what to do. But thank God he came back the next week and he continued the story. This week, he actually made an altar call. That the way for your sin to be taken away is for you to repent of your sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I ran forward. I knelt before the students in that classroom. Philip Omari, this man, listen to this. God is awesome. Pastor, how much time do I have? I still have some more time. God is awesome. This man himself was previously a Muslim. Jesus saves a Muslim, like in a different state. And according to him, God gave him a vision of my remote Maasai pagan village. He showed him my village in that vision that God gave him. And God told him, go preach my word to these people. Friends, that's why I love your campaign. give and go. Give and go. Give and go. Give and go. There is someone waiting to come to Jesus, but only if you give and go. There is no way this Maasai would be standing before you today if that man didn't come to my village. So he came to my village, literally using the description God gave him in a vision to ask his way around to our village. He would come to a place, I'm looking for a village, you know, he describes it according to the vision God gave him. People would tell him, you still have a day to walk to get to that village. Finally, he arrived. He comes to the elementary school that I attended now to use the religion class that was open to teach us the Bible. So the second week he came, he made an altar call. I ran forward. It was a class of 30 students. I was the only one who came forward, because there was a burden I was carrying, the burden of sin, that I didn't know how to deal with it. But here is a man who is telling me that there is a way. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. He led me to the Lord, friends. Now, excuse my emotions, because sometimes when I recall that moment, I just can't help myself. He led me to the Lord. I repented in tears. A 10-year-old boy. God did 3 miracles in my life that day, right there. Miracle number 1, forgiveness of sin and salvation. Miracle number 2, he filled me with the Holy Spirit right there, with evidence of speaking in new tongues. Miracle number 3, God enabled me to quote a verse from the Bible that I had never read before. Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each and every one of us to their own ways. And the Lord has laid on him, Christ Jesus, the iniquity of us all. This time, after quoting that scripture from the Bible, I turned to the rest of my students in that classroom at the top of my voice, crying in tears. I am telling them, the great shepherd has come to our village looking for his lost sheep. Why don't you wanna come to the shepherd? Come to the shepherd. Come to the shepherd. Come to the shepherd. He is here looking for his lost sheep. Remember, these are people that keep animals. The idea of a sheep getting lost and a shepherd going to look after the lost sheep resonates with them. It was a familiar language to them. So now I'm telling them, the great shepherd has come to our village to look for his lost sheep. Come to the shepherd. Philip Omari was the name of the man, would later take me aside. I saw him turning the pages of his huge black book. To my surprise, he reads out loudly to me the very same words that I was saying. And I ask him, Philip, how could it be possible for me to quote a line from a book I never read before? He gave me an answer that kept me in the faith. Philip told me, you have just been filled with the Holy Spirit. The author of this book is the Holy Spirit. Yes, he used various men at various times in different circumstances, but he was the main author of the book. It's no wonder for an author to lift a line from a book he wrote. And this Holy Spirit has just come in you. He now lives in you. It was not you speaking. He was speaking through you. Hallelujah. A 10-year-old boy, I was like, this is cool. God loves me so much that he would actually come and live in me, that he would actually speak through me, man. I'm going to stick with this God. I go back to my pagan family later. To cut a long story short, I literally went through persecution in my own family because of the faith. But because I already was filled with the Holy Spirit, I did not relent. I did not turn back. I stayed the course. I stuck with Jesus. And here I am today, a preacher of the same grace, a preacher of the same gospel, calling people to come to him in the same way I was called to come to him. And if there is anyone here today who does not know him, I'm here to tell you, today you can receive the grace of salvation. Please be seated. I'm not done yet. There's one more story I want to tell you. Give and go, brother. Give and go, sister. We are his priest today with a mission to let the world know about him. In 1995, two young men and I from our local church in Dar es Salaam traveled to a remote place called Simanjiro in Tanzania to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ on a mission trip in villages in that area. 5 days of going through the villages from one village to another, telling them about Jesus. We literally had three churches of about 30 people each now meet under the shade of trees, new believers. We had to send for a young man from a faraway church to come and disciple these new believers. But here is the highlight of that local mission trip. There was a river that ran down across these villages called River Ruvu. And at the bank of this river, we came to a little hut made of reeds and grass. There was an old couple living all by themselves by the side of this river in that little hut, cultivating a little garden in which they grew vegetables for their livelihood. And I took basically less than 5 minutes sharing with them. This man and his wife, they were probably in the early 80s or middle 80s. I told them about Jesus. And in less than 5 minutes, I led them to the Lord. Give and go. This old man, with the tears running down his face, he looks at me with penetrating eyes. It's so many years ago, but as I tell you about the story, it's almost like I'm seeing his eyes looking at me right now. He asked me this heart-wrenching question. Where have you been all these years? This is the kind of good news we have always waited to hear. Where have you been? That question impacted my life. Besides the fact that I myself am a product of mission, so to speak, that question has spurred on my passion for missions. Friends, how many people are out there in the world waiting to ask us the same question? Where have you been? There are people that are lost in sin, not because they have rejected the Savior, Jesus Christ. It is simply because they have never heard about Him. They have never heard about Him because nobody has gone to tell them about Him. Friends, as I conclude, that is the message God has sent me all the way from Tanzania to come and tell you. You are a kingdom of priests. Through you, people that are lost in sin need to come and know God. Give so that this message of the kingdom of God is preached in the whole world. Go, if you can, so that those who have not heard about Jesus will hear about Him and get a chance to be forgiven of their sins and be saved. There is a little Maasai like I was, little Maasai boy, living in the remote jungles of the world, waiting for you to go there as God's missionary to tell them about Jesus. I am a recipient of God's grace because someone came to tell me about Him. Friends, let's do missions. Let's preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a matter of life and death. Let us not be content by the grace we have received. Let's share this grace with those that are lost.